You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast, episode number 11. Welcome to another episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. I'm Jake Sumner, and today we have Tim Elmore in the studio with us, and we're excited about today's episode. We had an opportunity to sit down for just a few moments and have a conversation with Jason Russell, who's one of the co-founders of Invisible Children. And during our time with Jason, he was able to share some of his leadership journey that he's been on for the last 9 years in leading the organization Invisible Children. Let's take a moment and listen in as Jason shares a little bit about his leadership journey. This is Jake Sumner, and today Tim Elmore and I have the special privilege of sitting down with Jason Russell, the co-founder of Invisible Children. Tim, would you mind taking just a moment to introduce Jason to our listening audience?
Absolutely. Well, I am a Jason Russell fan. actually, I love the whole Russell family. We have been, Jason, I guess, family friends for many, many years, back when you were acting on the stage as a kid, and it's been fun to see you grow. And anyway, I would love to just launch into this, Jason, by starting with kind of a macro question. Tell us your story. In about a minute or so, summarize Invisible Children, kind of the movements that's happened, and specifically this last year, the CONI 2012 initiative. Just kind of talk to us about that.
Well, yeah. 10 years ago this March, myself and two friends, Bobby and Lynn, actually went to Northern Uganda, and we discovered the story of these children who were running for their lives because they were being turned into child soldiers and the girls were being turned into sex slaves. And we made a commitment to this boy, Jacob, that we said, we're going to do everything we can in our power to stop the individuals who are hurting you and who are killing you. And this individual, his name is Joseph Kony. And he's now been doing it for 27 years. So when we discovered the war, it was going on 17 years, and now it's been 27 years. It's the longest running war in Africa. And as a result of our movement and tenacity and young people waking up to the story and becoming activists and doing so much, we put it all into a film called CONI 2012, which became a global phenomenon last year. Became the fastest growing video, viral video on the internet. And that resulted in many things, one of them being my breakdown, one of them being that it worked. People now know who CONI is. And we currently today have 100 advisory American troops there in Central Africa working with the Ugandan military to bring Joseph CONI to justice.
Wow. That's so cool. That's got to be rewarding for you to see, as just a young leader yourself, that this kind of message can go viral and you do the good that you wanted to do. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we always say every day we're living the dream because you know, most people don't get to actually do what they love for their job and actually, you know, leave work and say, I know that what we did has impacted lives in a real way and has possibly changed lives. And that is very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, Jason, what do you think it is about Invisible Children that's engaged so many Gen Yers?
I think that it's very, if I had to pick one word, I would hope that it could be authentic. I think we level with Gen Yers. They want to be leveled with. Yeah. They want to know the truth, and they don't want to be, it doesn't need to be sugar-coated, or it doesn't need to have tons of branding. And so being authentic, telling the true story, keeping them updated with podcasts, videos, things online that get them engaged. And then I think making sure that the movement actually moves them. I don't think there is, you know, such a movement that is only purely online. I think that's something viral. I think that's not necessarily a movement. And so we get them to take to the streets, to go to Washington, D.C., to petition their congressmen and senators, lobby for a bill to pass through Congress. And that becomes really exciting and addictive, because when they see that their voice actually has legs and does something, then they're going to do it again.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, I want to get personal with you now. As a leader, you've faced intense pressure. This has been a huge deal. And the pressure has been both external and internal, physical, emotional, spiritual. In fact, you referred earlier to your breakdown. This last year, we just felt for you and prayed for you. In fact, you may want to just catch us up on that, but what lessons have you picked up about dealing with pressure? And are there any guardrails you put in place now to guide you and protect you along the way?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the big lesson that I learned is to be still, is to slow down. I think that's, you know, as cliche as it sounds, it's the main thing that got me into trouble. I wouldn't stop talking. I wouldn't stop moving. I never slept. And it was that pattern that got me onto a real spiral, manic, schizophrenic breakdown. Yeah, that's what happened. And when you go down that road, your brain is betraying you. And it's giving you information that's untrue, but you think it's true. And you think you're the only one that's experiencing this. And so I think that it's been an amazing year of actually reflection, where I've been able to have time to be with my family and to be alone. I now don't come to work on Mondays because it's just a day for me to be still. And so I really think that the lessons are, you really need to listen to the people who love you the most. So specifically your family and your closest friends, like if they're kind of saying, hey, these are some of the signs I'm seeing and we're a little concerned, don't push those away.
Absolutely. Well, I think you put your finger on a paradox that every leader faces. The whole point of a movement is that it moves, and you want to move as a leader. You want to make progress. That's why you're leading.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, if we just keep moving, like you found out the hard way this year, you just eventually are forced to stop emotionally or physically. You just can't go on. And so it's this tandem of reflection and movement, reflection and movement. But I tell you what, especially in America, we just keep moving. I feel for you. And yet I'm so thrilled that you are saying now, first of all, that you're healthy now, and you're saying I'm up and going again, but now with some maybe better guardrails.
Yeah. And I think another component to that, like American work ethic, is the control aspect, the control element. And I think specifically for me, when the video Kony 2012 went so viral, and I wanted to control the criticisms and the articles being written and the comments being put on Facebook and everything else. And that is so out of my control. There's, you know, really nothing that I can say. And even though so many stories were written and so many tweets and blogs were put out there that were untrue, there's nothing I can do in my power to make those recant. So I think that that's another element to it, because I think we move a lot, we move fast, and we do want control. And sometimes we're dealing with things that are out of control.
Absolutely. That's so true. And I tell you what, control is a myth. The first, when leaders finally get that, and you realize it's about connection, not control, then now we're liberated to actually be who we're called to be. So
definitely.
That's cool.
So great.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, the next question we wanted to talk with you about was this. You started Invisible Children as a next generation leader in your 20s. I mean, you were actually kind of leading your peers through that time period, but now you've been doing it for a while, and now you're leading the next generation with a little bit more experience under your belt. What did you learn from that experience? And as a follow-up question, what advice would you give to others who are currently leading the next generation like you are?
Yeah, it's been such a privilege. Having been born in 1978, I'm right at the tip of the spear of the generation.
Right on that borderline.
Some people say, wait a minute, you're not. And I'm like, well, I'm barely. And if you've come of age during the proliferation of the internet, I did. So I consider myself to be a part of that, and actually really privileged to be a part of this generation, because I think that they are so globally connected. I think deep down they want to work, but they only want to work on things that truly matter, which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think sometimes they need to work at places that they don't find total fulfillment just to get to the next place. Like if you're a barista at Starbucks and it's not your passion, but at least you have a job and work hard at it and do your best at it. But I think that if I'm going to give advice to any leaders of this generation or to the generation itself, I would say that you need to finish what you start.
I think
that we have so many options when it comes to what we, what we're going to do, who we're going to be, that you almost get paralyzed with the plethora of things that could, that you could do. And the truth is, when you're 35 or 45 or whatever, you don't want to look back and say, I had 24 startups. You know, that never worked. Like, I actually want to finish what I start. And I don't know if we know that lesson very well. So that would be my challenge to us, is to really look at the commitments that you've made and think of the things that matter to you most and finish.
Definitely. Yeah, that's great advice. So at this point, you're 9 years into your leadership journey with Invisible Children. What insights would you give to a young leader who's just getting started? Maybe if you could even go back and think about having an opportunity to talk to your younger self, what are some things that you wish that you had known at the beginning of that journey that would be helpful to you?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I work at a sandwich shop right out of USC film school, making like $5 an hour. But my aunt, Shirley, she wrote on a post-it note, "Follow your passion and the money will follow you." And that was, you know, I was 9 months away from going to Africa with Bobby and Laren. And so I put that on the cash register at the sandwich shop. And I think that's really true. You know, the quote I always use, because I love it so much, is don't ask the world what it needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is for people to come alive. And I think that they miss it, because I ask people, even really high achieving individuals, I'll say, "What's your dream?" And they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "What's the dream for your life?" And they've never heard that question. They think, "What do you mean the dream for your life?" Because I believe when every person was born onto this earth, they have a destiny, they have a purpose, and you know you're doing it when you're doing it and you feel most yourself. You feel at home and you feel alive doing it. That's what you're supposed to do. So go do that. And the money, it might take 6 months. It might take a few more years, but it will come if you're doing what you love to do.
I love that. And really, you're right. That's an alignment issue, isn't it? It's finding what my gifts are, knowing what my passions are, and then finding places to apply them and serving those up to the world. And Jason, I know I don't. This sounds so pithy, but you've really done that. I mean, I remember when this all started, and it's so it's got to be rewarding to say we did some good. We brought justice, and not just justice, but hope for tons of kids over there in Uganda and Sudan. It's just amazing. It's fun to watch.
Well, thank you. I mean, some days I feel like I wake up a failure because Kony is still not captured. But I mean, you do look at all the things that have been affected and impacted, and it's very rewarding. So thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, one last big picture question that you can take as long as you want to, but this is really a personal question for you as a leader, as a man. What drives you? I want you just to take a moment and talk about what keeps pushing you forward. I mean, your values, your faith, your vision, you've talked about all this, but is there some internal motivator that you say, that's really what makes me tick? What would you say?
If I had to pinpoint one thing, I think it would be story. The idea of story. I don't think anything changes the world as story does. Story moves things forward. It changes paradigms. It gets people to act. And I think that, you know, when Christ was on earth, he knew that. It was just like obsessed with story. And so for me, it is constantly looking back to his vision and seeing what he did with the resources that he had and the fact that he never really left his home and never held office and never really was, you know, it was a different kind of activist, but changed the world in such simple and connected, as you'd say, ways. And So that is ultimately what drives me and what story I'm telling with my own life, but also what stories are still out there that I would love to cover and like get a hold of, whether it's a feature film or a musical on stage or a documentary. I think that it's what gets me up. It gets me excited because, as you know, there are millions of stories to be told.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are a storyteller. I know you've had experiences where you sat down with Steven Spielberg and others and just you've written stuff, which kind of leads me to really one last question. I told you I had that was my last question. I actually have one more question.
No, it's fine.
If Kony were to be captured and we all celebrate, do you know what's on the horizon? What would you do if that all happened and you now had a new chapter to write? What would it be?
Yeah, so we're figuring that out right now. But the thing for me personally, and we're going to reveal it this summer. We're going to have big plans to reveal. But for me, it's having this generation commit themselves to saying, we're not having another Joseph Kony in the world.
Yeah.
We're not having another Rwanda happen. Yeah. So what does that look like? Having young people commit of their time, talent and money to say, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that there won't be these major victims of war, child soldiers, sex slaves. And I think that this generation is willing and ready to do that. We just have to create the avenue and the mechanisms to like capture their imagination and get them to act.
Yeah. So in many ways, it's this asking this generation to prevent another Kony. That's awesome.
Exactly. And we've learned a lot in 10 years, but we have a lot more to do over the decades to come. And we know that a lot of that has to do with their actual education in school. And so I know we'll be focused heavily on that. Like, how do you, you know, capture and captivate and even entertain people, young students in school so that they can actually go, wow, this world is amazing. Not history is so boring.
Yeah,
because it's
absolutely
really not. It's riveting.
Absolutely. That's so true. I love the way you said that. Well, Jason, you know, I've already said this, but we believe in you. We believe in what you're doing and all the critics out there that had little things to nitpick about. I'm telling you, you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the critic who's sitting by doing nothing, well, I don't know. I'd just rather see somebody do something than somebody criticize as they watch passively. So thank you for taking a few minutes and talking to us and just sharing this. And we're going to stay tuned later in the year as you guys unveil what the next step is. But we so appreciate you taking some time.
Jason, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's an inspiration to us. And we're definitely looking forward to sharing your story with our listeners on the Growing Leaders podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Well, that was great to hear those thoughts from Jason Russell. As we finish up this episode, let's just take a few minutes to unpack what we heard from Jason. Tim, what were you thinking as we had that conversation with him?
Well, I always enjoy talking to Jason because he's always fresh thoughts. He's always represents fresh thoughts. One of the things I enjoyed was the fact that Jason did start his journey as a next-gen leader himself at 23 years old or
whatever.
Exactly. And now he's still young, but now he's leading those 21, 22, 23-year-old kids. And I just love the fact that, we talked about finishing what you start. That sounds like a dad to me, you know?
Exactly.
So I just feel like these are the kinds of topics that we need to be addressing with our students. And really, Jake, our National Leadership Forum this year is precisely going to be covering these kind of real-world, real-life issues.
Folks,
we want you to be aware of this. We're going to isolate 2 days in Atlanta, Georgia, this coming June, June 27 and 28. And our whole theme for those 2 days is marching off the map. We're going to talk about going into the new territory of the future where education is going to have to look different. And even if you don't have big budgets or brand new schools to work in, how do we do a lot with a little right now? How do we right now enter into the world of the future that's marked much more by Google than Gutenberg and by screens, not necessarily gurus up front who are teaching this marvelous wisdom they've never heard before?
Exactly.
So we'd love for you to join us. We will have Len Sweet, a futurist, with us. We will have Elena Bedrova, who is a researcher, with us. We will have Joel Mamby, who is from the corporate world, who will talk about what these kids need to look like when they're done with their education. We'll have Kim Bearden, an educator who is doing absolutely amazingly creative things at the Ron Clark Academy, things that we can use in our own situation. So, yeah. Jake, why don't you take a second and share with us where they can go to the national get information on the National Leadership Forum.
Definitely, yeah. For more information about that or to go ahead and register and get your ticket reserved, just go to nationalleadershipforum.org. All one word, nationalleadershipforum.org. That's going to have all the information about the speakers, the event details, everything that you would need, and, of course, the ability to register right there. So we'd love for you to come and join us this summer. It's going to be two great days of discussing what the future of education looks like.
Absolutely. And then there's a third day that's an option day. If you would like to get certified as a Habitudes facilitator, we have a one-day certification event that is optional, but that's on Saturday, the 29th. And then I would just say this in closing. In the meantime, between now and June, several of the things that Jason talked about, if you want to take away or you want to say, I want to have that conversation with my student or my son or my daughter, were captured in the Habitudes series. Yeah. Jason talked about being still. He talked about getting ready. He talked about, you know, finish what you start.
Yeah.
Images like drivers and passengers, chess and checkers, rivers and floods are really, those are images that form leadership habits and attitudes. And if you're unfamiliar with them, I want to encourage you to maybe check out our site and see those Habitude books.
Sure.
We have them priced at Amazon prices, but they're just conversation starters because they're all around a picture that leads to a conversation, that leads to an experience, which we think changes their life.
Definitely. Yeah, and to check those out, you can just go to growingleaders.com. Right at the top, there's a tab that just says Habitudes. Click on that and check it out. And as Tim said, you know, it's great to be able to pick up these and to be able to begin those conversations. And perhaps they're conversations you're already having, but hopefully it's something that sparks that conversation and allows you to take it to a deeper level as you come alongside the students that are in your life. As we finish up this episode, I just want to remind you the show notes for this episode will be available at growingleaders.com/011, episode 11. So just go there for any of the things that we've mentioned here. The links will be there, and you can check out the show notes on our interview with Jason Russell if you want to dig a little bit deeper in that. As always, I want to remind you that Tim blogs 5 days a week at growingleaders.com/blog. So we'd love for you to drop by and check that out if you want to get in a little bit more frequent content. Tim is always bringing out the latest research and the latest thoughts on how we lead this next generation well. So we want to thank you once again for joining us for this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We look forward to talking with you again soon.